This morning, I want to speak life to this church. Now, let me just give you a little disclaimer here. This is one of the kind of messages that I probably have not preached in my 49 years at Solid Rock. It could be a very touchy sermon it could be one of those sermons this morning that could offend somebody, but I'm declaring that people will not be offended, but our eyes will be open and our ears will be open, our hearts will be open to the words. Don't jump up and leave before I finish. Give me a chance to finish the message before you leave today, okay? And I just believe you're going to be all ears, you're going to listen, we're going to learn something today. We're all going to learn something today. And the title of my message is, How Would Jesus Vote? I can tell by those that didn't clap who's going to be leaving early. I'm here today to ruin your party. I'm here to ruin your party. We're just gonna tell it like it is, and it'll make some people happy. It'll make some people mad. And then some people say, well, it needs to stay out of the house of God. But I will challenge those statements in just a few minutes. So we're gonna talk about how would Jesus vote, how to vote like Jesus. And please, before you freak out, just stick around to the end and see if maybe you can make a little bit of sense out of this today. This is not easy. In fact, my minister to the deaf ministry approached me this morning and said, Pastor Rhodes, that's a tough one. She said, there's words in there that I don't know how to translate. And I said, that's okay, just fake it. Can I tell you something? If pastors do not lead their churches, the enemy will. If pastors don't stand up for the truth, how many knows we will all believe a lie, and the Bible says we'll be damned. Can I hear an amen? And so this morning, we're going to do our best to keep it on truth. We're going to keep it like it is, but somehow the enemy is always willing to take over if we let down our guard. How many's found that out in your personal life? You let down your guard, he comes in. In the church, if the pastor doesn't lead in something, the enemy wants to come in and destroy it. So stick with me for a while this morning. Love me anyway. Love me if you believe like I do, or if you don't believe like I do. Just love me, because if you want to go to heaven, you got to love me. Amen. Come on, somebody smile real big. About 45 years ago, somebody came up with the attitude that the church and pastors should avoid politics. You should stay away from commenting on politics or political leaders. But I want you to know, if you will read throughout the Bible, you will find out that that is completely unbiblical. There were people in the Bible that contested the government, contested some of their ways, and disagreed with them. How about Moses? How many knows Moses didn't agree with everything that the Pharaoh did? The big chief, okay? Daniel didn't agree with everything Nebuchadnezzar did, right? Esther didn't agree with the way the king was running things. And so we have all these people, Nehemiah, John. How about John the Baptist? Now, here's a guy that spoke it like it was. And how many knows he ended up with his head cut off? Well, I told somebody today, I may not have a church after today, but at least I'll have my head, okay? But listen, it's in the Bible. It's throughout the Bible. It's throughout the Bible where people would stand up. I remember John the Baptist standing up to Herod, and said, hey, if you don't stop living in adultery, and if you don't stop this, we're going to vote you out and get somebody else in office. And it cost him his life, right? But that's all right. It may cost us something. We don't know what persecution is in America. Amen. So if Jesus were living in America today, how would Jesus vote? Well, first of all, you have to ask, would he vote? And I think he would say, I think the answer to that is yes, Jesus would vote. Because it's a duty. It's one of our duties as citizens of the United States of America. It's not just a privilege, but it is our duty to vote. And I believe Jesus would follow that example. Okay. Now, although Jesus wasn't born into a constitutional republic like the one we have here in America, he doesn't have a voting record. But how many knows you can read his word and you can find out his values, you can find out his standards, you can find out, you know, his priorities and his desires. We can look what God says, look at what God did, and we can apply his wisdom to this 21st century and even to this coming up election in 9 days. If the church does not disciple people, guess who will? The world will. Amen. So what's going to happen if godly leaders refuse to speak up? If they're afraid to speak up because half the congregation may get up and walk out. Their support goes down. The church has to close because there's no support. What happens if you get up and speak the truth? Some people don't want, how many know a lot of people don't want the truth? Some people want to be petted. And here's the thing this morning. If we refuse as leaders, as pastors, even as a church, if we refuse to speak up, I'm telling you what, the enemy and the government will come in and try to tell you what to believe for. Amen. We've got to understand that. If we don't, they will. Did you hear me? Which way is Washington, D.C.? That way, right? East. If we don't, they will. So comes a time when it's the job and the responsibility of pastors to be like John the Baptist. They said, hey, listen, King Herod, what you're doing is wrong, and things need to change. And if they don't change, this nation's not going to be blessed, and you know the rest of the story, right? And so we're just going to move right on. Okay, so understand, when government moves past things, I believe in the government. I believe in our government, and our government needs to keep their nose where government things are. Nowhere in our Constitution, in our Declaration of Independence, nowhere in our history is it ever been to where the government sticks their nose into church business and tries to tell them how to run their churches. How many knows they tried in COVID? You still with me? They tried in COVID, and a lot of people rebelled against it. Many people were fined. Many churches paid horrendous fines for not closing their services. But if the government will stick to things like building roads, protecting citizens, huh? If the government will continue to do things like driver's license, stay in government business, that's okay. But when they start to redefine marriages, are you hearing me? I think somebody's got to stand up. When they start erasing genders, when they start talking about how everybody should be allowed to have abortion, somebody's got to stand up. And if the church doesn't stand up, they will take over. Are you with me? It bothers me that our government, even in our school system, is trying to indoctrinate our children into believing, you know, all these things about gender reconstruction and all that. Folks, we got to stand up. If we don't, the enemy's going to run roughshod over the church, and Jesus Christ will hold us accountable for what we did with our country. We got to speak up. Amen. So we're going to shout it from the housetops this morning. We're going around the world today with this message. And so we're going to, let me just take all the air out of your ball this morning, because I know you're already wondering, you know, who's he going to endorse? I'm not going to endorse a candidate this morning. I will not endorse a candidate. And there's a couple of reasons why. Because if I endorse one candidate, and that candidate has done a lot of ugly things in their past, or they do some ugly things in their office, then in their administration, then everybody, you're going to point back at me and say, well, the pastor said that's the one we ought to vote for. And another reason I don't want to endorse a candidate publicly is because I don't need everybody's approval. I don't need you to say, oh, that's good, pastor, you got the right one. I don't need that approval of man. I just need to make sure I hear the voice of God and be led by the Spirit on whom I vote for. So I'm not endorsing a candidate. I'm here to speak the word of God today. I'm here to give you the truth, and I believe you're going to receive it. And the Holy Spirit can direct us if we will listen in who to vote for and what to vote for. In just a few minutes, we're going to show a video at the end of the service. After we go offline, we're going to show a video about Amendment Number 3 in Missouri. And I know a lot of you have already voted, but if you haven't voted, you need to see this. And you need to know right from wrong, yes from no. Amen? And so this morning, you will probably hear some criticisms of both candidates. How many knows both of them are human? And both of them probably have some things that we could talk about. So would Jesus vote? How would Jesus vote today if he was on the earth? According to the Bible, God's established three particular things that we need to talk about. He's three institutions. He established the home. How many knows he established the home in Genesis chapter 2? Yes. Amen? How many knows Adam lost his boldness and his bravery and bowed to the woman, and the serpent came in and tempted? And how many knows man's been in sin ever since? But God did. Listen, the home's a mess, but God established the home. Did you hear me? God established the home, even though the home is a mess today. God also instituted the church in Acts chapter 2. The church was birthed. And so we realize that we have the New Testament church being established. And then God also established government. He established the family, he established the church, and he established government. Romans 13, verse 1 and 2, I believe we have that today. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, because those authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Now, let me give you an example of that. Let's suppose, Mama, you're home cooking dinner, and it's all ready. It's on the table. Dinner's ready to be served, and you yell to the kids, come on down. It's dinner time. Let's eat. It's dinner time. And put those games down. Turn those video games off. It's time to come down, and let's eat. How many knows if that child doesn't come down, if he doesn't turn off his video games, how many knows he is passively rebelling against that authority? Did you understand that? He is passively, come on, get downstairs right now. How many knows that he does not have the right to opt out, because as parents, you are the governing authority? Woo! Boy, we could do a lesson in parenting today, couldn't we? God has commanded the child to obey the parent, right? Can all the parents say amen? Amen. I'm going to have my kids watch this today after church. I hope they'll watch this. So God established all three. He established the family, he established the church, and all of them have ruling powers. All of them have authority. The church has authority, the family has authority, and the government has authority. And here's what I want you to see this morning. Everything that God creates, Satan tries to capture. He tries to imitate it. He tries to reproduce it with his slant on it. Are you with me today? Everything God creates, Satan tries to capture. For, you know, we talked about the family, how that Adam stepped aside and he let Adam's wife lead and so forth. Did you know that in the Word of God there were two primary parties? Yeah, there was two parties in the Word of God. Let me give you one of them. Let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 17. One was on the left and the other one was on the right. I'll give you scriptures to prove that there's two ancient parties, and we find them very similar to our political parties. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Then the priest, the high priest, and his associates, who were members of the party of the party of what? The Sadducees. That was a party, and that party tried to rule, that party tried to dominate, and they were filled with jealousy. That would be the Democrats, okay? That's why I'm using my left hand. Now let's go to the next verse, Acts 15, verse 5. But some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees, everybody say Pharisees, stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. That would be the Republicans. That's why I'm using my right hand, okay? Because there were two parties. There was two parties. And in the days of Jesus, they were always bickering. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they were always bickering and fighting against each other. You got one on the left, one on the right. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Some Christians today will say, okay, I'm not going to vote. We have the Democrats, we have the Republicans, and they're both messed up, so I'm just not going to vote. I've heard people say that. Have you heard anybody say that? I'm just not going to vote because they're both corrupt. Listen, there's a difference. There's a difference. And listen closely. How many knows we're all sinners? And I know the Republican Party has some sin in it. It has some corruption in it. I know that there's compromise, and it could definitely be better. Huh? But listen to me. The Democratic Party is more than just compromise, or more than just little things like this other party. Listen, the Democrat Party embraces and celebrates and promotes wickedness. So you have one party that's flawed, but you have another party that's wicked. Which one do we go with? Which one are we going to choose? Because I heard a pastor say one time, it's impossible to be a Christian and to honor God and to obey his word and vote for a Democrat at this point in history. Now listen, here's why. Here's why he said that. Because the entire party openly rebels against God and the Bible and his moral law. Listen to this. I've listed about 12. Yeah, I got about 12 things here that this party stands for. They want abortion, which is the right to murder a baby in the womb without restrictions up until birth, and they want it funded with our tax dollars. Number two, they promote the homosexual agenda, which God calls an abomination. Number three, they put, now you can find all these things. It's in the Democratic thing. They push transgender propaganda. They want pornography in public schools and libraries to groom and educate our children. Getting quiet in this church. They're all about men physically abusing women in the sports arena. Number six, I don't know if you're mature enough to take this one or not. They promote chemical castration and sex change surgeries on minors. This is not something we've just dreamed up, not the haters of that party. This is something that you can find out. They consist, number seven, they want to twist God's biblical definition of marriage. Number eight, they consistently side with the enemies of Israel. Number nine, they seek to tear apart the biblical nuclear family, which God designed, saying that kids should have a dad and a mom. It's getting quiet in here. Do I have any agreement? Got a couple, okay. Number 10, they want children to be under the control of the state rather than parents. Number 11, they want to ban God, prayer, and the Ten Commandments, and the Bible from the public schools and the public square. Number 12, this is the last one. They believe our rights come from government and not from God, which allows them to take away our rights whenever they want to. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Republicans aren't angels either. Listen to me closely. They're not angels. How many know sometimes they compromise? And I'm not here just to promote the other party, the Republican Party. Sometimes when you promote one, you're condemning another. And I'm going to tell you something. I just listed 12 things that I cannot agree with as a Christian, not even a spirit-filled Christian, but as a Bible-believing Christian, that God would want that in our leadership. Because all 12 of those go against the Word of God. It doesn't mean the Republicans are perfect. And if you're looking for a perfect president, forget it. We're never going to get one. I need a better amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, Brother Rhodes, are you telling us to vote for the lesser of the two evils? Let me phrase it like this. Maybe this makes a little bit more sense. It's never permissible to vote for the greater of the two evils. Did you hear me? It's never permissible to vote for the greater of the two evils. Amen. So if you're of the party that's rebelling God, murdering babies, mutilating children's genitals, silencing Christians, promoting sexual depravity, taking away the rights of humans that come from God, and you compare that to the stuff that the other party's doing, it's not so bad. It's not perfect, but it's not so bad. You know why? Because it's full of people. That Republican Party is full of people that are full of errors. Amen. And they're never going to be perfect. So I'm not telling you who to vote for. Amen. But I might be encouraging you to tell who to stop. We've got to stop while it's in our hands. And you know what somebody told me? I believe it's true because I've heard it several times. That if just the evangelical Christians would get out and vote, this nation would be a godly nation again. We can turn this nation around if just the evangelical Christians would vote lined up with the Word of God. Amen. So I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I'll tell you which party you probably don't want to vote for. Amen. All right. Again, if godly people won't lead this nation, if godly pastors will not stand in the pulpits and preach the truth, we're going to find out that our country is going to hell in a handbasket. I promise you. You will not know the United States of America as we've known after this election. Amen? Hey, listen to this. I like this scripture. Proverbs 29:2. Throw it up there, Brother Blake. By the way, Brother Blake did an awesome job ministering Wednesday night. Come on, Blake, you did a great job. And you know what's funny, Luke? This is funny. He preached Wednesday night. We all bragged on him, telling him how good he was. Friday night, he came to the men's meeting and said, Brother Rhodes, I got another one ready. he's ready to go. I got another one ready. I love that spirit. Amen. Look at this, Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people what?
Rejoice.
Shout it out.
Rejoice.
But when the wicked rule, the people what?
Groan.
It's pretty obvious right there, right? Pretty obvious. Now, I might probably say something here that's got just a little bit of an edge to it, but I just need you to understand this. When Christians do not vote, what they're doing is they're abandoning their leadership position in this constitutional republic that these United States have been set up with, and God has placed us here for such a time as this. It is your right, it is your duty. Would Jesus vote if he was in this place today? He would vote. He might even vote early, okay? By the way, we did vote early. We voted Thursday, because we're going to be gone on election day. In fact, we'll be 30,000 feet in the air when we find the news who's the president. So you pray for us, because we might be a target. All right. Would Jesus vote? Absolutely, he would vote. He would not step down from the responsibility that God had given him. Amen. Okay? I kind of feel like a dentist this morning. I feel like I just keep pulling teeth. Are you all okay today? Okay. I feel like I'm drilling. Okay. Let me talk about something that voting is not, okay? Say it with me. Voting is not. Here's what we're going to talk about. Okay, listen. There's a lot of concepts about who to vote for and why to vote for them and why not to vote for them and who should get my vote and who should not get my vote. Let me tell you something. Just because he or she is cute does not mean they'd make a good president. Just because they're a woman doesn't mean that they would make a good president. Just because of their color of their skin doesn't mean they would make a good president. Just because they're Jew or Christian doesn't mean they'd make a good president. Listen, I'm not voting for a pastor. I am voting for a president that can lead this country and get us back on track, that will close the borders, that will begin to get things back in line like they used to be, and we can move on and enjoy the progress that I believe God intended to bless America with.
Amen.
Amen. So we don't vote for them. Oh, he's so tall and handsome. Look at those blue eyes. You don't vote for somebody that's tall and handsome and blue eyes. Oh, I just love his little accent. He's got such a cute accent. I think I'll vote for him. Come on, get out of here. You know what? You remember what the Lord said to Samuel when Samuel was looking for a king in Israel? Here's what he said. Do we have that scripture reference? Do not consider. Is that it? Yeah. Here's what God said to Samuel. Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the things on the outward appearance, but God looks on the inward. All we see is the outward, right? Well, he's got the same skin color as me. Well, I'm Latino, so I'm going to vote for the Latinos. I'm African-American, so I'll vote for the African-American. So, folks, that's not why we vote. When we were in Kenya, what year did Obama get elected? 08. We were in Kenya in 2008 during the presidential election, and you know what they, or just before the presidential election, you know what every one of those Kenyans said? Oh, we hope Obama gets in as president. We want to see Obama in as president. Well, evidently he must have lived there at one time, and the people liked him, and so I don't know, but that's we don't vote because it's the same skin color. I'm not voting for an orange man. right? Or a Latino. I'm not voting. You know, well, I've always wanted a woman president. That's not why we vote. We vote for the one that we feel like can lead this country the best. How do you know? You look at the record. You look at the past. You look at what they voted for in the past. You look at where they've been and find out, is that the path that you want to continue on? Oh, it's good stuff today. Well, they just give me the warm fuzzies. You're going to vote on them because they give you the warm. You know, they can say anything. They can say anything you want to hear to get your vote. Well, I just don't like their personality, so I'm not going to vote for them. He's that one guy, just a big mouth billionaire from New York City, businessman. He's got such a big mouth, and he's so egotistical. I'm not going to vote for him. Can he lead the country? Can he lead the country? You'll never probably ever come in contact with him to meet his personality anyway. Well, look what he did 20 years ago. Well, look what you did 20 years ago. Yeah. You know what? He did a lot of stupid, crazy things, but so did we. And so we can't look at somebody's past in that sense. Look at the voting record. Look at what they've stood for. Not so much what they did when they were, a party animal. Amen? It's not on who you like the most. A politician is not a pastor. Amen? It doesn't disqualify anybody because of what they did in their personal life in the past. And I say that with all sincerity. If they're qualified to run as the president of the United States, then they're qualified to have your vote. Then look at the record, look at the past, and let's see who's got this country in the best shape. Is this okay today? Wave at me if you still love me. Say, oh, how I love Pastor Rhodes. Yeah, well, we love you too. Look at Romans 3:23. Here's a scripture I bet you didn't know was in the Bible. For all politicians have sinned and... No, wait. Let me say it like this. All pastors have sinned. All firefighters have sinned. All teachers have sinned. All policemen have sinned. Did you hear me, Arletty? All teachers, all mothers have sinned, all daddies have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. It's not just one or two. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God for His amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I may not be a perfect Christian, and there ain't no perfect Christian anyway, but that don't justify. I'm just saying that I'm not a perfect Christian, but you know what? I can still pastor this church because God called me to do it. Do you have a past? Absolutely. Would you like to see my past? No, you wouldn't. Would you like me to show it on the big screen? Tough. I ain't doing it. I didn't video it. And so, anyway, we've all made mistakes. We've all done horrible things. That doesn't disqualify me if I fit the bill to run for president of the United States. Which, by the way, is why I'm not running. We would all like to have the kind of president that we could say to our children, he's got such high morale. I mean, he's got high moral values. He's got such great personality, and when you grow up, I want you to be just like that president. There's probably not going to be too many people that get into that position. Amen? Amen? It's probably not going to happen. Because God's not so interested about what you did in your past as He is about you doing the right thing in the future. Today. Besides that, how many knows God still uses broken people? He still uses broken people to accomplish His purpose. He doesn't use perfect people to accomplish His purpose. He uses broken people. Well, how can you cuss like that and lead our country? Just about every president I've ever seen, and I've been living long enough to have 17 presidential elections. And you know, everyone that I've ever known used a few foul words once in a while. That doesn't mean they can't lead the country. That's right.
It might morally it may not be acceptable, but that doesn't have anything to do with their leadership to lead the country. What if I was to stand up here and say a word and it slipped out of my mouth and it wasn't? What would you do?
It's
Luke says it's happened. I know, and we won't repeat those things. In fact, one of them was recorded, and at one of my anniversary dinners, they played that recording over and over and over and over. How embarrassing. God still uses broken people. He's not looking for perfect people. If he was, I wouldn't be here. Dwayne wouldn't be worship leader. Luke wouldn't be on pastoral staff. Because God doesn't use perfect people. He uses people with a willing heart that's willing to give it their best. Amen? Okay, so you don't vote for who you like the most. The most you vote for those who you think will lead the best. I'm not even almost done yet, so don't get excited about Pasta House just yet. There are three types of leaders I want to share with you real quickly this morning. Three types of leaders. Number one is the one, the first one that I want to talk about is the one that embraces, celebrates, and promotes righteousness. And this guy is found in 1 Kings. We won't turn there because I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. First, it's found in 2 Kings 22 and 23. It's about King Josiah. He was one of the last kings of Israel. Allow me to just paraphrase here for a minute. He became king when he was 8 years old. At the age of 26, they were doing a renovation at the temple, and somebody was cleaning out the closet, and guess what? They found a scroll of the Word of God in there that they had never seen before. What in the world did we find? They opened it up, and Josiah began to read it as they found this thing, and they started reading, and when they read it, Josiah was so deeply moved. Age 26, he read it to everybody. He repented on behalf of the people. He renewed the covenant with God on behalf of Israel. He led a national revival. Josiah destroyed all the pagan altars, executed all of the pagan priests. God's people were in revival. He was considered to be one of the most righteous kings in the history of Israel. He reinstituted the Passover celebration. And now, how many of us, we'd all love to have a president like King Josiah. Right? That's what we want. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear somebody like King Josiah that can get and do something like that. Wouldn't that be amazing? But I'm telling you something, it's not going to happen. Let's face it, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So the first type of leader is the one that embraces, celebrates, and promotes righteousness. Now, we have another type of leader. The second type of leader is the one who embrace, celebrate, and promote wickedness. And this is found with Ahab and Jezebel. Remember them? They were two of the most wicked people and the leaders in the history of Israel. They led history back into idolatry. They promoted Baal worship. They persecuted the prophets of God. They murdered innocent people. Ahab was a passive, weak man. Jezebel was a manipulative, strong, and selfish woman. Nobody wants to be led by a Jezebel or an Ahab. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But guess what? Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. And what happens? Chaos. Chaos spreads. You know what happens? Cities begin to get burned down. You know what happens? The police are told to stand back. You know what happens? People are allowed to loot and steal things up to a certain amount of money and not have to go to jail. That's what happens when chaos spreads. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Men begin to use women's restrooms, and they put things in men's restrooms that don't need to be in there, and they're advocating sex changes and so forth. That's what happens when an Ahab and a Jezebel rule. And then there are those leaders, number three, who are flawed but used for the good. God uses them for the good. They're flawed, but God uses them. The biblical example that I'm going to use today is Jehu. Remember Jehu? Darlene, you've preached on Jehu before. You always call him Jehu. 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 He was the king. Now, this guy, he had zeal, Maybe not so much knowledge to go, because it was kind of ruthless. It was kind of, you know, just you know, I'm going to carry out God's judgment no matter what it looks like. And he did. He carried out God's judgment. Elijah had called him to be the king, the next king. And he was anointed by one of Elijah's messengers to go out and destroy the kingdom of Ahab and Jezebel. Now listen, wipe them out. So you know what he did? He had great enthusiasm. Oh boy, this is going to be fun. I get to carry out God's judgment. And he did it with brutal success. I mean, it was brutal. Listen to this. He slaughtered the prophets of Baal. He had Jezebel thrown out of a window, and her body was eaten by dogs. He fulfilled God. He fulfilled his role to carry out God's judgment against wicked Ahab and Jezebel. But the Bible says that Jehu was far from perfect. He tolerated idol worship while he was king. He let the golden calves be worshipped in Israel. We all want Josiah, but you know what? There may be a Ahab and Jezebel or a Jehu that might be our leaders, because God still uses flawed people. God uses flawed kings like Jehu. He was rough around the edges, right? Can you read between the lines? He was kind of rough around the edges. He might have said some things that was kind of strong, but God still used him. May have had some sin issues. Tolerated idol worship. Tolerated golden calves. He may have tolerated that sin. But listen, he wasn't perfect. He was flawed. But God still used him to complete the purpose of destroying that wicked kingdom of Ahab and Jezebel. Amen. So this year we don't have the option of voting for Josiah. Amen? Most of us will probably settle for the flawed one, right? But listen now. A king like Jehu is far better than suffering under a wicked queen like Jezebel. And that, my friend, is what we're dealing with in the upcoming election. We have a queen Jezebel. We have a king Jehu. And I'll let your critical thinking skills figure out which one's which, okay? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, there is what? Groanings. Groanings. Take a look at some of the cities. I'm just going to list a few things here. Look at some of the cities in our country that's ruled by godless politicians. San Francisco, Seattle, Minneapolis, New York City. Businesses are closing down and bolting out of California, closing down and bolting out of New York City. They're losing money. How many of those buildings in some of these towns are selling for pennies on the dollar? They've crumbled away to nothing. Thieves are allowed to steal in broad daylight. They can set the American flag on fire and it not be a crime. I think it ought to be a crime. Amen. I believe if you're going to set the American flag on fire, you ought to go set your rear end in jail for a while. Amen. That may be too strong for some people. Allowed to steal. And listen, the police watch them steal. They can't do anything about it, because law enforcement has been told to stand back. Illegal immigrants raping our women and coming in and building terrorist organizations. Rioters allowed to burn buildings to the ground while police watch them. Drugs are sold in plain sight of the police officers in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They can't do anything about it. And not only that, but there's homeless encampments built. Have you ever seen the sidewalks of some of the places where the homeless people are? You know, I mean, they just take over the sidewalks and the streets and the beaches. This ought not be so. Somebody needs to rise up, amen? And so we need somebody that's going to make provision and help this thing, amen? So it would be to our detriment. I'm telling you folks, but it would be to our detriment to allow these leaders to continue in office and allow this stuff to continue in our country. No political officer, no political president, no political person can save us from hell. They will never, only Jesus, come on, only Jesus can save us from hell. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But I'm telling you, a good leader can make the difference between prosperity and hell on earth. And that's what we're looking for. You think I'm about done? No, I'm on page 15 of 19. How many are willing to stick with me just a little longer? For too long, our American churches have been manipulated by fear and threats that we don't talk about politics in church. I understand the concept of maybe somebody that's been a Democrat all their life maybe getting their feelings hurt when something like this is preached, or somebody that's been a Republican and we talk about the Republican Party. But listen, we have been threatened that if we talk about endorsing a political leader, that they can take away our 501c3, and all that means is you would not be able to give to the church for a tax write-off. It means we'd have to pay taxes on our real estate and all of our property and all of our vehicles. We'd have to pay property taxes on that. And so the church is a tax-exempt organization. Every time we send Dwayne to Lowe's, it's a tax-exempt purchase. Every time we send Carissa to Dollar General, that's her favorite store. Dollar Tree. It's tax-exempt. You know why? Because we're a church. We are a legal 501c3 recognized by the United States government and by the state of Missouri. So it's all done legally. It's all done right. But if we begin to endorse, then they threaten us with, we're going to take away your 501c3. I do know some churches that have given up their 501c3 to have the freedom to endorse whoever they want. And if that's fine if they can do that. But right now we're not at that place. But I think it's pretty well you know where I stand today, right? I don't think I have to. But they've tried to shove it down our throats. They've tried to abuse the church. They've misused this phrase, separation of church and state. One guy asked a university student, what caused the pilgrims to come to America? You know what he was told by a university student? Because we were, let me see if I can get it right. Because they wanted to escape religion. They wanted to escape religion. How close am I?
They needed persecution
in there somewhere. Yeah. So anyway, this is crazy. I mean, this is university students. They don't know the difference that they came from England to escape the persecution.
Of the church of the state.
Come on. So we can't just put our head in the sand and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to vote. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to hide in the hills. I'm going to be a perpetrator? No, what? No, the P word that they go prepper. I'm gonna be a prepper. That's a long ways from a prepper. I'm gonna be a prepper, and I'm gonna go hide in the caves, and I'm just gonna wait for Jesus to come back because he's coming soon, and I'm not gonna get out there. And you know what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5? It says, "Listen, you are the light of the world." Now you can't be a light if you're hiding. You can't be a light if you're afraid to say something. You can't be a light if you've got to put it under a bushel. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Not only did he say you're the light, but you're also the salt. You know what the salt does? Light brings revelation. Salt brings decay. Huh? It brings flavor, but it also decays.
It preserves.
Thank you. Don't laugh at me, Dustin. I'll send you home. Right. He didn't say you are the light. He didn't say you are the light. I've got it here somewhere in my notes. He didn't say hide your light. He didn't say hide your light. He said, let your light so shine so that they can see it. So we don't hide the light. We don't hide the salt. We have to get it out of the salt shaker and apply it in our lives. Amen. You can't help people living in darkness. You can't help people living in caves. You'll never help anybody. Amen. We're the light of the world, not the light of the church. Oh, that's what I like that. That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Jesus. We're not the light of the church. We're the light of the world. Okay. John 18. I'm going to read a couple scriptures and I'll get out of your hair. John 18 says, Verse 36, my kingdom, the Lord's kingdom, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might be delivered, but that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Can I tell you this? Jesus did not come to join a party, but he came to start a new party. And it's called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I get a better amen?
Amen?
Let the online audience know you're listening. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And so I want to close today with a song. Was that an amen or was that a praise God, we're closing? You taught her very well. As long as we're in the flesh, we're going to be governed by somebody with flaws. Amen? And whatever your political, whatever your cultural beliefs are, whatever it is that you've been all your life, I had somebody tell me, listen, I had a dear friend of mine, a very high up person in this county, told me he ran on the Democratic ticket all of his life. He's been a Democrat all of his life. His dad was a Democrat all of his life. And he said 4 or 8 years ago, he said, I'm switching parties. I'm going from Democrat to Republican. And I said, why? Why are you leaving the Democratic Party? You know what he said? I'm not leaving the Democratic Party. They left me. And he was a diehard Democrat. And your dad was a diehard Democrat. But listen, we need to open our eyes and let's not be party conscious. Let's be person conscious of who God wants to be our next leader. Do you know that with the coming of a president comes a cabinet, a new cabinet? There could be judges to be appointed. There's all kinds of things that can happen with a new president, and you just need to check it out. What do you want? Which one do you want? Amen? All right, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. By voting the right way is one way you can love your unborn neighbor. You get that? Our babies are being murdered. Our kids are being sucked into gender confusion and perversion. And what we need to do, church, I think this will be my last statement, even though I got a couple more pages. We must find a way to love our children more than we hate one another. We've got to learn to love those children, those unborn children, more than we hate one another, because you're a D or you're an R or you're a donkey and you're a elephant. Amen. How many knows we don't need another donkey? We don't need another elephant. We need the Lamb of God.
Amen.
To rule our country. And you know what? We're praying for the right leader. And you are going to do the right thing. In Jesus' name.